Girls in the club know the deal when we come.
Daddy Yankee.
Show us love cause they know
it's worldwide.
Estamos en alta, nunca le vamos a
playing skills.
Ten cuidado con el fuego, te va a
let's ride.
We're making it hot, we're making it hot. Dinero, dinero y no vamos a parar. We're making it hot, we're making it hot. Dinero, dinero y no vamos a parar.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Talking Pylons. My name is Mike Napolitano. I'm going to throw it over to my co-host, Jake Radner. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. And we have right down here, if anybody has noticed, we have a very special guest today. I know I say that all the time, but this one's super special. She has a knowledge of hockey like no other woman that I have met. She has worked with the Blackhawks, rubbed elbows with the Olchecks, and interviewed multiple Russian players. She is one of our good friends and now holds the title for the very first woman to appear on Talking Pylons, rightfully so. It's a very big deal. And we are very happy to have her here. Please welcome Hannah Arbitman.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone. I'm very excited to be on.
How's it going? How have you been?
Pretty good. Solid Monday morning. So powering through.
Cool, cool. Well, so your mom and dad, we'll jump right into this. Your mom and dad were both athletes growing up, but your dad played soccer. I forget. What did your mom do again?
My mom played volleyball and soccer. My dad was a power lifter.
Oh, okay. Okay. I knew there was soccer in there somewhere. Okay. So you followed your mom with volleyball. But none of your sports between the three of you were hockey. So what instance in life brought you into hockey, into the world and hooked your interest in the game?
So there is a Russian TV show that came out, I think in like 2015, maybe later. Started watching it during the pandemic as a family. And my parents kind of pushed me into watching it because it was just, there was a lot about teamwork, about kind of working as a team, following through with your sport and just growing as a team rather than individuals. And I think it was more that they wanted to show me that part, but I kind of fell in love with the sport more than the plot of the show. And it kickstarted my love for the game. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You worked with the Blackhawks last year. For some of the listeners and the viewers that don't know, what was your official title and role while working with them there?
So the official role was the fan event and experience team. And basically our job was to come in before the game, prep everything in terms of any Blackhawks advertising. So like all the backdrops that you'd see, all the banners, like when you first walk into the United Center with the players on them, it was our job to set those up pregame, then take them down postgame, aside from kind of interacting with fans among the concourse during the game, doing activations on the concourse, what else? Intermission games. So just anything fan facing was falling on us.
Gotcha. Okay. What are, you said activations? What are those?
Yeah. So activations, the best way to describe it, I think, would be kind of if a company partners with the Chicago Blackhawks. So like there was a pen company, it's called Uniball. So basically when Uniball would bring in their representatives, we'd be the ones to help them set up their activation. So like their backdrop and then help run their stations.
Gotcha. Okay.
So very little of it was actually hockey based, you know, like, except for the intermission activities.
Yeah. Yeah. You were still running around with Tommy Hawk and whatnot.
Oh yeah.
Kind of getting
the job. Yeah.
Yeah.
The best part.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what was the best part of the job, because in your time with the Blackhawks, you it also allowed you to have that connection to the Olchecks, in particular Nick, Eddie Olchek's son. I have a connection with the Olchecks, his brother Rick. I cannot disclose how, but he and I love to talk hockey, and you've actually followed them to Seattle, which is pretty cool. Tell us about your time out there and what that was like.
So Seattle, I actually went out there because I have a cousin who moved there for a little bit, kind of wanted to see that area of the country, and then also a climate pledge. I think when I first saw it on social media, I was like, I have to go there and it has to be soon. So I made that trip out in September. It was a really good time. And that was actually the first game that I got to work my job as post-game interviewer. And while I was there, I did get a chance to meet Nick and Eddie as well, which was a great experience. They're both very nice. So
that's awesome.
Good to me.
It didn't rain too much, right?
I think it was only rainy one of the 4 days that I was there, and it was when I was leaving. So
For the viewers and listeners that don't know, Rick is Eddie Olchek's brother, Rick Olchek, and he's in the front office there. He was a scout for many years for various different teams, including Carolina, and we're going to get into that because you have some connections with that as well. But Rick's in the front office, so when Eddie and Nick were looking to leave Chicago, Rick was luring them over there. He told me that they had never played against each other or been on the same team because, I guess, you know, different age ranges and stuff like that. So it was pretty cool to see that, you know, the whole family is all one big team now out in Seattle, even if it can't be with the Hawks, sadly. I guess we got to have a little love for the expansion team over there. And Rick told me that Mr. Olchek, he told me that when they were designing the jerseys, he had a little bit of a say in the jerseys. And when it came down to them sending him the home and away jerseys, he said somehow accidentally the away jersey never made it back in the, he was supposed to send them both back. The away jersey never made it back into the box. So I don't know what happened there, but he really loves those away jerseys, coincidentally, you know.
First authentic one.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. One of the first originals. I don't know. I guess they were probably shipped out to a lot of people, but it just went missing. I can't confirm if it's in his closet or not, but you know. But so you're now writing for a Russian source that allows you to have the locker room access that you were mentioning that you got to do out in Seattle and interview players. Tell everyone, because you've described it to me, how that amazing, like, random connection came to be.
Yeah, so I was connected with the guy who basically runs the media team through a family friend, very randomly, like literally out of the blue. It was like, do you know this guy? And I go, no. He goes, well, you should connect with him on some form of social media and kind of introduce yourself. So not that I was shy, but there wasn't the right time, I'd say. And then during a game, I think we either walked past each other at the United Center, and I kind of made that effort to go up and be like, hey, I'm Hannah, nice to meet you. And from there on out, I think we started kind of communicating through Facebook. And then a few of our correspondents were at the Stanley Cup Finals in Tampa this year. And I commented literally something so random along the lines of like, what an atmosphere, would love to get there someday. And he messaged me, goes, hey, let's connect because I have an opportunity for you. So that's kind of how that came about. And it's been what it is ever since. So
that's pretty awesome. What are some of the best players that you've had the pleasure of interviewing? Because you've gotten to see a wide variety. I don't think you've seen all 32, but a wide variety of the teams at this point.
Yeah. Again, I really kind of only cover the Russian speaking ones, and it's been difficult the last few weeks because there have not been any that have come to Chicago. But I think I feel like this is very biased. My favorite interview so far has been with Peter Kochetkov of the Carolina Hurricanes. I think because it was so laid back and just, I mean, it was a really special moment as well because it was his first NHL shutout. But I also really liked Romanov of the Islanders. He was great. Bobrovsky, I caught at the wrong moment because he lost that game and that interview actually never came out anywhere. And then I think my first one too was pretty special too. It was Philip Kurashev. It was a preseason game, but he's the only Russian speaking player in the Chicago Blackhawks system. So that was cool.
Who did you get when you were out in Seattle?
Jan Kuznetsov. That's also not on the channel. Yeah. Gotcha. He's with the Calgary Wranglers. So they're AHL team.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So yeah, you mentioned you have a love for the Hurricanes, even before Peter Kochetkov. Where does that stem from?
I'll be honest, when I first started getting into hockey, I kind of just started looking at Russian players in the league immediately. And I think after Alexander Ovechkin, the next video that came up on recommended was Andrei Svechnikov getting in a fight with him. And since that point, I kind of started following the Hurricanes because I was so invested in this kid's career. And he's been killing it. Yep. There it is.
Tavo, Turbo.
He just came back too. So it was good to see him play on Saturday.
That's very cool. Well, in addition to loving Carolina, you also love their farm team. That is the Chicago Wolves. They won the Calder Trophy last year. What was that experience like for you? And you got to actually be around the team in certain instances. So what was that like to be around some champions?
Again, it was pretty special just because following that team from the, not, I wouldn't say the very beginning, I think started keeping up with them around November, but still just seeing them grow together and win all those games and then make it to the finals, that was really special. And watching it with my family was just cherry on the top. So it was cool. Yeah.
And getting to go to Halloween parties, knowing them on a personal level, that's pretty cool too. Yeah. Oh, was I not supposed to say that? Was that a private Halloween party? Sorry.
I went to your Halloween party.
That's true. Hey, our Halloween party was sick. That was sick, but we did not have as many NHLers there. So okay. I'll take.
You had some SHL players though.
That's true.
You did have two Stanley Cups, so I think your party might have beat.
Yeah. No. I'll say I have a couple more Stanley Cups than that, but you know. But yes. Yeah. No. I'll take second place as much as I think I come first place when it comes to Halloween things. I'll take second place. That's fine. Well, we mentioned another Stanley Cup. You were actually not in attendance, obviously, for the Calder Cup final when the Wolves won on the road. You were actually at a different Cup final. You were at the SHL game. That was your first time seeing the event. What stood out to you most about the game and what makes it so special from like the fan perspective?
I think the organization itself, I was not expecting it to be as big of a deal as you made it. And that was really special because I got there and there's just tons of people standing around the rink. You're up on a box commentating. And I was like, this is insanely cool. So from the fan perspective, I think that, and also like the intermission activities that you had going on, just everything in itself was put together and it almost looked like a professional game.
Dang. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I know some people probably think I ask these questions to like pump my own tires, but like, I like getting the feedback from the fans and like what they like and how we can make it better and stuff like that. So we can make it better next year. We could get you in the booth if you want.
Oh yeah. When you come out of retirement, so someone has to take your place in the booth. I'd love to.
I am coming out of retirement. So
she could do some interviews for us too.
Oh yeah. That would be sick. You'd be perfect. I don't speak Russian though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't think you have any.
What's that?
You have time to learn.
Yeah, that's true. You were teaching me a couple phrases, but I don't know if I could say any of them on this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. No, there were clean ones.
Yeah. Maybe not for this podcast.
Yeah, no. That's the after hours podcast. But I'll learn some Russian. That would be kind of sick. But I don't know. I feel more confident in English to give my interviews. So when you ask the questions in Russian, I'm gonna be like, yeah, sure. Of course.
You're gonna be responding. This is number one bullshit.
Number one. Yeah, I'll just give you all the Kucherov answers. I'll see you see Wesi in the net? He's Wesi's number one. MVP. On a more serious topic, though, you were actually the target of some hate online in the hockey world. And there's really never any room for this kind of stuff. But can you dive into that or disclose kind of what that was about?
I don't want to talk about it too much, but I'll say that hockey is for everyone. And hate has no place in the world of hockey, in the world outside of hockey. Shouldn't be talked about. Personal lives shouldn't be disclosed. People need to mind their own business, and that's all I want to say.
I couldn't have said it any better. I totally agree. That was when I saw that, I was like, oh no, yeah, that's not good. So I don't know if we kind of touched around this, and you said it was a little biased earlier, but can we dive into Peter Kochekov?
Are we
allowed to? No, what? Oh
no.
Break the scoop on talking pylons? No. Well, regardless, though, it's been kind of fun watching his career as, you know, Calder Cup champion with the Chicago Wolves, moving up to the Carolina Hurricanes and filling in the role there. The game he came in to play for Carolina was against Edmonton, so he had to shut down Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and they did that, and they won that game, so that was pretty cool. McDavid did get one super cool goal that night. But
he also got Crosby. He got Crosby, what, 2 weeks ago? But
yeah. Well, it's going to happen as a goalie, but it's cool to just see him moving up the ranks. And Carolina is a very cool team. I've known a lot of really cool goaltenders coming in and out of there. Scott Darling.
But got inducted into their Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. I almost forgot about Ward. How could I do that? He's he won the cup with them back in when they won it in 06. No. Yeah.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
With
yeah.
Rod Brind'Amour was the captain.
Yep. Yep. Rod the Bod. Now the coach over there. So very, very cool.
They kind of had a goalie with Chicago too. I don't know if you've paid attention, but Antti Raanta, who played for Chicago, is now with Canes. Peter Mrazek with the Blackhawks. So.
A lot of that goalie connection between the two of them goes back to our connections with the Olcheks, because Rick Olchek, before he was in the front office for Seattle, was a scout for many years, and he was a scout with Carolina, and he was in part a big factor in getting Scott Darling over there. One of my coworkers is actually related to Scott Darling, and so the story there is, you know, that's her relative, and Rick Olchek was the one that was able to sign him, which is kind of all small world, how it's all, you know, revolving around a couple people here, which is pretty cool. So yeah, that's another way the Olcheks tie into everything. Awesome. I mean, there's a reason they're almost at the top as far as the hockey families go. So they're just everywhere. They got their footprint on everything, which is cool. So not to get into more somber notes, but we mentioned that you are Russian and you speak Russian, but you had mentioned that your family was originally from the Ukraine. We would be remiss to not mention the turmoil that is taking place there. So what message do you have to share regarding that situation, and maybe shed some light on like a really dark situation and some areas that are, you know, either the media or the people might actually not know about?
In terms of sports media, I think it's very unfortunate, just the position that we're put in. We were connected to a Russian source that's now not being let into any NHL facilities, which is why we had to kind of rebrand ourselves and go in as an independent source. But I think with my family being from Ukraine, it's a part of Ukraine that's now its own republic. So it's a part of Ukraine that's always spoken Russian, that's always embraced the Russian culture, and it's never really been Ukrainian. I don't know the best way to put it, but I was raised in the Russian culture, speaking Russian. Russian is my first language. I'm still fluent in it. So Ukrainian is very far from me, and it's an unfortunate situation, but we're here, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another like I said, sad thing going on in the world, and something that we don't want to talk about. But considering we were having you on as the guest today, I figured we should definitely touch upon that and get your insight.
I think just the biggest gift in life is being here and not there.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Well, we are glad you are here. And more positively, you just had a modeling shoot, and you've done some modeling in the past. So what can you tell us about this endeavor? And do you see yourself branding yourself in this facet as well in life?
I don't know. I feel like it could be something on the side. I'm still definitely more focused on school than modeling and posing for a camera, but it's a hobby. I'd say it's really fun and I really enjoy it. I did participate in the National Bridal Market back in August, which is kind of when I got into modeling. I'd always been pushed into it by everyone around me, which is like long legs, like go for it. And I was kind of like, I don't have the time and the patience for all of it. And then that opportunity came about and I embraced it, really enjoyed it. So gave it another shot this past week with just doing some new digitals to then send into agencies. So,
yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Do you have the, you have to send over some of the pictures so we can put them up here for the talking pylons. Or we'll just steal them from your Instagram anyways.
I'll get them all tomorrow. I don't know if they're going to be up on my Instagram anytime soon, if at all.
So. Okay. You had posted one though, I thought, right? Or something like that?
It was a sneak peek on my Snapchat private story. So for the very special.
Okay. I couldn't remember where we saw it. Yeah. All right. We'll keep it under wraps. That's all we'll go into that. But Brad, did you have anything that you wanted to throw in there?
No. Pretty much covered everything so far that I was questioning as well.
I was going to have you jump in and do some of these questions, but I kind of took the reins and took them all. But as far as Hannah, for big things that are going on in your life, whether it be hockey, we didn't even get to your Russian theater. I don't know if you're, are you still doing Zumba classes and modeling?
Taking a break from that right now, just because obviously with the NHL season going on, it's really hard to be consistent. So not at the moment, but I'll probably get back into it during the off season or sometime soon.
Gotcha. Well, with, like you said, with hockey, with Russian theater, with Zumba, modeling, like you don't have a free second of your entire life. So we're thankful that you had the time to come on today, but, you know, anything coming up on the horizon that, you know, like fans should be excited for, and where can they follow you and your success?
Fans should be excited for, I'm hoping I'll make it to the Rangers game. That'll be on the 18th. But with going back to Russian theater, I have a show on the 18th. So if I'm not drained, I'll make it out there. I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm trying to think of the next teams playing here. And
that's a Sunday, right?
It is, yes. But it's one of those like 6 p.m. starts. So might be able to be there. Just a lot of traveling, hopefully in the works for the next year within the season. So I'm personally looking forward to that. And obviously related to hockey, fans probably should be too. Or fans that watch and understand my videos.
Your Instagram is just your name, right? Is it just Hannah?
It's Hannah. Yeah. So.
Okay. A-R-K. Yeah. So they can find you on there, and then you're on Twitter too. Just your name, I think, right?
I think it is just my name. Cool. I don't post too much on there, but I am on there.
But she's a hockey insider, folks. So just. Under the table insider, maybe we'll go with that. I've gotten a couple of scoops from you. Nothing that I've shared. I haven't been allowed to. I got to keep my mouth shut, which is hard as an Italian. So,
no way you could keep your mouth shut.
Hey, I kept my mouth shut on that one.
Relax.
That one thing that she told us last year at the bonfire.
All right.
That's as far as I'll go. And it had to do with a Russian player. We'll just go. We'll go that far. That was it. Yeah, that really narrows it down, you know. But so fans can go and follow you there. You're probably on TikTok too. I'm not a Gen Zer. I'm sorry.
I am. I've been lacking on the TikTok content, but I do typically post kind of like a game day overview, what my day looks like. Last video I posted was the beginning of November, so I really have to get back to it.
Gotcha.
Yes.
That's awesome. Is there anything else you wanted to add or anything you think we missed?
I don't think so. I think that's awesome. Pretty much covers all of it.
Very cool. Well, thank you again. You're welcome to stay on. We're going to get into some NHL talk. I don't know. Do you have somewhere you have to be?
No, I don't.
Huh? Oh,
it's
awesome,
a Monday
awesome.
Afternoon.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm just kind of chilling. So let's get into it. It's been a very busy week in the NHL, a lot of things to talk about. First thing I want to mention is McDavid was in town. Connor McDavid came to town Wednesday. Him and the Oilers took on the Blackhawks. I have a lot to say about this game, but I'll let you guys go first because mine's going to be a personal experience. I was actually at the game. Rat, what'd you have?
I mean, I didn't watch that game. I had something going on that night, but I did watch some highlights and I saw some of the goals that were scored. And I mean, McDavid's the best hockey player in the world. He's sick. He could do literally anything with or without the puck. And it's just a pleasure to watch him play. And I really wish I was able to make it to that game, but I wasn't. And some of the plays he made was just amazing. And unfortunately, the Hawks didn't come out with the win, but it was from what I saw in the highlights, it looked like a pretty fun game to watch.
Yeah, you would have been there if you didn't have your – I would have given you the ticket if you didn't have previous engagements. But, Hannah, were you able to catch any of this game?
I also was not able to watch things going on, but I did follow along on Twitter. I kind of just read the notifications, and having the Hawks come back and almost tie it at the end there was – I was really debating that third period. I was like, I'll turn it on. And then it just ended poorly for them. But obviously being able to come back and make that push was, I think, a big thing in terms of their resilience and just growing overall as a team.
Absolutely. Everything you said is correct. And my smirk of pain over here is for multiple reasons. It's because that comeback that you alluded to reminded me of how last week on Talking Pylons, I gave everybody the, I did give good picks. I promise I gave good picks that night, but I had picked against the Hawks in our betting segment. And that was true. They lost, but I got greedy that night and I took Edmonton to win by two. And what happened was, is the Blackhawks came back, they were down 4-1. And the final score was 5-4 though. Yeah. Right. I was there. I should know that they were down 4-1 at one point, and then it was, I believe 5-2, and they came back and made it 5-4. So as a bettor, I was a tough position, but then as a fan, you kind of switch over and you're like, you know what? I'm okay if my bets don't cash in tonight because I'd rather see my team come back, and they didn't do that either. So it was a lose-lose situation. I saw my team lose and I didn't make any money. So that was tough. But the toughest part of the night, I had a great experience. My cousin who had given me the tickets, it's always an amazing time. Great seats. We had Kettle One Club passes. We got to go down and hang out in the Kettle One Club. For any of you that don't know, it's below the 100 level. There's a door on the 100 level to go down in there. And we saw Mr. and Mrs. Kane, Patrick Kane's parents down there. We said hello to them. Our friend Hammer was there as well. He's always there. He pops up. He's like a bad penny. He's everywhere, but we love the guy. he was there as well. The Kettle One Club is this restaurant / bar, and it has a glass set of windows that overlooks the hallway that the players walk in and out of. So we were there for most of the second period. We kind of got caught down there eating, drinking, and drinking water, of course. And then we were able to go down there after the game and see McDavid walking out and Taves, a couple other Blackhawks players. A lot of the Edmonton players were too, but I only recognized a handful, some of the well-known stars. Of course, McDavid, I'm pretty sure we saw Darnell Nurse walking out. It was a lot of fun. The worst part though was I was not in my seat for the Connor McDavid goal.
All over McDavid. Dickinson, the third Chicago forward on that line. Here comes McDavid, puts a move on Johnson. McDavid shoots, he scores!
Well, what an outstanding pass from Leon Draisaitl. Talking the guys were speaking of his ability on the backhand to make plays, and this time he makes it in his own zone. Watch this. Beautiful pass right on the tape of McDavid. He skates into it and does the rest.
He went end to end, and the entire night I had my phone ready to try to capture it on film, be sitting down, be watching it live. And they stop you when the puck is in play because you have to be courteous. You can't just walk to your seats in the middle of the game. And he scored within that first minute of the third period, and I got stopped. And I really couldn't even see past the curtain either. And I heard the goal go off, and I just thought to myself, I'm like, this is it's just my luck. This is going to be the McDavid goal. And I sat down, and sure enough, my friend Rob and my friend Dre were like, yeah, that was McDavid. And it was Rob said it was the easiest goal he's ever seen. Like, the guy made it look like it was like slicing butter with a knife. Like, I saw the replay and it was a highlight reel goal. I did see McDavid make a sauce pass over for a one timer for Draisaitl. So I saw the assist. Don't roll your eyes at me, Rat.
Okay. Wait. So go back on what Mike was saying about like trying to catch that video or catch that goal on video. Like, I'm actually like wondering, you post so much during the game. Do you ever actually watch the game or do you just watch it on your phone?
Yeah, I'll just you guys take over from here.
Has his phone and he follows the puck like he's a broadcaster and is watching it on his phone. Like, you have great seats. Watch the freaking game.
One day. Don't worry.
I do watch the game. There's just a lot of exciting things that go on. And yeah, you're right. I failed that night though. I failed. It's fine. It was a great night.
I have a question for you. So you come to the Blackhawks game to watch the game, obviously. Right, not on the screen. You find yourself in the Kettle One Club during the period.
We went down there during intermission, and then we had ordered food. My goal is to always go there before the game, but we kind of ran out of time, and we do like to watch warm-ups too. So one of the friends I had been with, Dre, he'll come on the podcast. He has his own podcast, so we're going to want to promote him at some point. He had never been to a hockey game, so I wanted to make sure he got like the full experience. And part of it for me is the warm-ups. As much as some people are like, oh, it's just warm-ups, like, you kind of get to see all the players, you know, with their skills, everybody's shooting, everybody's out on the ice, the music's going, it's just kind of a fun atmosphere. So I didn't want to skip warmups to go to Kettle One Club, but at the same time, you're right, I did not want to miss any of the game. But that second period went by so quickly. What I had forgotten was the last time we went down there for an intermission was one of the last times my cousin had given me those passes to go down to the Kettle One Club. And we went down there for the second intermission, and we were planning on going back up. But our food came later as well. I mean, not that their service is slow. Their service is really attentive down there, but you know, it takes time to cook the food and whatnot. So you will expect to miss a little bit of the second period if you do that. However, the reason we didn't miss the whole second period the last time was because the last time we were there was the night, and we're going to get into it in this NHL talk, was the last time when the Hawks played the Rangers and Jujhar Khaira got hit by Jacob Trouba. So there was about a 10-minute stoppage where they had to get him on the stretcher and take him off the ice. We actually, in that Kettle One Club, we saw him getting put into the ambulance because that window overlooks where the ambulance backs up. So scary situation, and you hope that something like that doesn't happen, but it did allow us to watch a majority of the second period and of course the whole rest of the game and still have time for Kettle One Club. But this time we kind of got caught down there, and then we looked up at the TV and we're like, uh-oh, like we're missing like the meat of the game here. So we did leave there. And then of course, second intermission, I wanted to take them over to the FanDuel Sportsbook Lounge since they opened that thing up, and that thing is crazy. Like, it's awesome. So we saw some people we knew in there, David Hammer, some of his friends. And then we were rushing back to the seats. And they made it. I was slow.
If we could just touch back to Jujhar Khaira and the situation with Jacob Trouba that happened last year. I was also at that game. I was on the concourse when that hit took place. Yes. And I just remember the screen going completely black. Like, there's TVs on the concourse that'll kind of show you when the game is. And we were doing something for the intermission, so obviously I had to pay attention to the clock. And the TV just went completely black. So I rushed in to see what happened, and totally silent, scariest scene. Definitely like the scariest moment in hockey for me so far. And then obviously when we were getting down to ice level to take the fans onto the ice for the intermission, they had to hold us back because he was getting taken out by the ambulance. Oh, but they played the Rangers on Saturday. And I think they tried to take revenge for Khaira and everything that's been going on. Jacob Trouba ended up throwing his gloves.
Yeah. Look at that transition. You want a spot on the show? Right.
Does she even have her notes? Like, she literally
doesn't have her notes, but perfect. I'm pretty sure she's reading right off of them somehow.
Invisible ink, I promise.
Exactly. Did you hack into my computer here? the Blackhawks did just play the Rangers for the first time since that Jujhar Khaira hit. Of course, the Rangers are the team that Patrick Kane is predicted to go to at the trade deadline because he wants to play with his Russian brother from another mother. Sorry, you were drinking. I don't want to make you laugh. That would be Artemi Panarin, former Blackhawk. We miss him. He had quite the night. One goal, two assists. That got him to 1,200 career points. And that doesn't count playoffs, folks. The points that they count for that is all regular season. So he's done so much more for this Blackhawks organization. But one of the biggest storylines of the night was Jacob Trouba again, almost a year later to the date that he lit up Jujhar Khaira, and Jujhar Khaira had to basically miss the majority of the rest of last season due to that heavy hit. Trouba hits Andrés Athanásiou coming out of the zone, almost in a very similar play. It wasn't as close to the boards this time. Athanásiou got up. He seemed to be all right, but Jonathan Toews came to the rescue and got in there and started going after Jacob Trouba. And even Connor Murphy was throwing yucking gloves with I don't remember who he tied up. Do you?
That I was watching a different game that night, but I just kind of want to touch base on Jonathan Toews stepping up and kind of coming to his rescue. I think it's really important for a captain to have that quality and to show what he's capable of and to show that people on his team are not going to be treated that way. And that's something that Jacob Trouba was not able to display. That was a big baby moment. As bad as that sounds, that was disgusting. And that is not the way that leadership should behave on the ice or off the ice. And I still question how New York gave him the C. I don't know if I'm allowed to be saying this, but
it's an opinion. You're valid.
That I will never understand.
My point of view on it is like Trouba has the C, and he had that huge hit on Athanásiou, and he got in that fight with Toews. I mean, the two captains going at each other, and when Trouba was skating off the ice, like he's trying to get his bench riled up. I mean, they're down 3-0, and like as a captain, you need to get your team going. And unfortunately in hockey, that's a big way to get your team going is have a fight and lay a big hit. Your team's going to be energetic and want to get going for him. But I mean, that's just my point of view on that.
That's true. I mean, I do see that as well. I think she was referring more towards him throwing his helmet and yelling at the refs and stuff like that. And I do see that. That is a really good way to parallel between the two captains there, especially Toews coming from injury and nobody's quite sure if he's, you know, the same Jonathan Toews he was a couple of years ago or even a decade ago. So for him to step in like that, you really love to see that. I thought both hits were clean to an extent. Even Jujhar Khaira last year came out and said that the hit was clean. He just had his head down. This hit on Athanásiou was clean. When you slow it down, it does look like he kind of gets the shoulder up and kind of hits him in the head, but they had mentioned it. It was Colby Cohen and Kaylee Chelios on the intermission. They were mentioning that when you slow something like this down, you're looking at it in a different way than how it's viewed in the moment in the game, because the game moves so fast. So, I mean, can you really judge something by going in slow-mo and saying, oh yeah, he meant to do that, or did the game just move fast? So I do think Athanásiou had his head down a little bit. I did think it was a clean hit. I loved the response from the Blackhawks. Trouba throwing his helmet like that, like you're saying, it was a little, I mean, I get he's trying to rile his team up, but like it was a little temper tantrum-ish. It was a little on the childish side. Maybe get your team going a little more. We're talking about the Rangers, who are supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender. And they haven't seemed to figure things out this year. So I don't know. Does Patrick Kane still go there? Is it Shesterkin? Does Shesterkin need to be better?
I think if Shesty plays better, and like, I mean, as a hockey player, like when your goalie's not playing that well, team morale is kind of down. And if your goalie's playing better, like that team morale is going to be up and they're gonna be like, wow, we want to play for this guy. We want to score goals and win games for this guy. So when he's not playing very good, like the team, of course, I still want to win, but it's just like not much of an intensity anymore because of, you know, if we score 3 goals, we're still going to lose 4-3 because our goalie can't save a puck, you know?
Yeah. Following the hit, Andrés Athanásiou had this to say. He said he's an $8 million man, referring to Jacob Trouba. He's an $8 million man with 0 goals. So he has to figure out how to do something when making that much. If you can't help the team, I guess you could try to hurt guys on the other team. So Anthony, so you took it personally. I mean, yeah, you get lit up like that. I respect both in this situation. Now, of course, I'm going to be a little bit biased towards the Blackhawks, and I respect that comment, but I do understand Trouba's side of things, where he's kind of got to get his team going somehow, right? You got all this talent and you're kind of sitting in the middle when you're supposed to be picking up Patrick Kane and going on a playoff run. So we had some shades of Patrick Kane as well. And another big hit in another game. This was Ducks and Wild. We were talking about Ryan Reeves last week and him getting traded, which Hannah, off the podcast, we had talked about how crazy that trade was. Ryan Reeves for a fifth round, 25 pick.
Insane.
That was, what a steal. But yeah, so Reeves had a big hit on Vetrano, kind of showing his physical presence with his new team. I know he was kind of dancing in the locker room after their win. So it seems like he's fitting in well. In that game, they went to a shootout, Ducks and Wild, and Zegras had a shootout goal. This is how confident this kid is. And I know we've pumped Zegras's tires a lot already, and we're probably going to continue to do it because he's flashy and he's a good player. Great player, almost. I don't know if we can go that far yet, but he came out afterwards and he said the reason he pulled that shootout move, we'll post the video, was because Patrick Kane did the exact same thing to the same team. Almost, oh my gosh, that was 2013 was when we were playing the Wild. So almost a decade ago, he went in with a very similar Patrick Kane style move where he comes out wide, kind of slows down, bunch of stick handles. And then I believe Zegras went. He went to his backhand.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, it's so hard for me when I'm not actually watching the clip to realize which guy's a lefty and which guy's a righty. But yeah, it looked very much like shades of Patrick Kane. So you guys both caught this goal, I'm sure. What did you guys have your take on it? Did you think Patrick Kane when you first saw it?
No, I did not.
I think it's important for him as a young kid in the league to develop and to watch legends like Patrick Kane. So I think it's good for him to take after them, but at the same time to play with his own style, because you're saying that you guys talk about him a lot and he obviously gives you reason to, because if he was just kind of like somewhere in the middle, he was okay, we wouldn't be talking about him as much as we would. He wouldn't be the cover of NHL 23, or is that what it is?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Him and Sarah Nurse.
Yes. So I think for him to even try and make that move is a big advancement in his game.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I had to change studios real quick, but you were mentioning the background. Yes. It's still red. I still blend in. I still don't like the lighting in here, but most of these rooms are only for radio. So I get it. You don't have to have like the perfect podcast lighting, but I'm sorry. I believe we cut you off. You were still making a point on, was it Zegras we were talking about?
I think I was done making my point, but yes.
Okay.
I mean, Zegras, I want to talk about Zegras a little bit, because I mean, he's one of my favorite players to watch right now. He's just so creative. Like, I mean, the most popular player to watch in the NHL right now is obviously Connor McDavid with his skill, but he's not the flashy guy. He's the guy who's going to go out there, make the right play, and it's going to be a sick play. But Zegras is the guy. I mean, he's young. This is what, his sophomore season now, and he's pulling off Michigan's like it's his job. Like he's just so creative, and watching him and seeing his creativity when it comes to the hockey world is just insane to watch. I love watching him.
Speaking of pulling off Michigan goals, I guess we could go into it now because we kind of already talked Hawks, but last night the Hawks lost 3-0 to the New York Islanders, concluding their New York trip. But it was a little bit chippy in this game too, kind of going back and forth. And the man himself we were just talking about, Andreas Antetokounmpo, tried a Michigan from behind the net. Didn't quite pull it off. Did he lose control of it, or did it hit the crossbar? I couldn't quite tell from the angle.
So it looked like he got it up on his stick, but it wasn't flat. It looked like it was on edge, and he kind of lost control of it right as he got it up to the shoulder of the goalie.
I kind of thought so too. It still went across the crease, so I couldn't tell if he had come all the way around or if he was starting to lose it. But that was pretty cool. That would have been something to talk about.
Yeah.
But
shutout though, could be something to talk about. Not a very good thing if you're a Hawks fan. I just really like Varlamov as a player. got a chance to interview him not too long ago. So getting him get a shutout was for me pretty special for me, but obviously not as a Hawks fan. So
yeah, no, that's true. And good for him. But yeah, tough for the Hawks. We're tanking for Bedard. Hashtag hard for Bedard. So yeah, that's tough. I'm going back to you, Rat's point about the McDavid being the flashiest to watch. I had one girl tell me, so I had taken a video of McDavid walking through that tunnel after the game on Wednesday, and I had some girl slide up on my story and she was like, McDavid's overrated. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. I was like, okay. And who would be better than him right now? And then she proceeded to drop MacKinnon, Makar, and even Josh Morrissey from the Jets. And I was like, okay, wait, hold on. MacKinnon, Makar, there's kind of arguments for that because they just won the cup and Makar is just, he's a phenomenal player. I still don't think they're better than Connor McDavid. And she said she was getting all her info from Spit and Chicklets. I listen to Spit and Chicklets and I don't know if they've ever called McDavid overrated. So, and then definitely Morrissey. I mean, Morrissey's hot right now, but to be better than McDavid, hit McDavid and Draisaitl. I just saw a stat the other day that they are responsible for 42% of Edmonton's offense this year, their production as far as goals and assists. So overrated, I don't think so.
Yeah, and that stat right there is why they won't win a cup, because they're almost half of their offense. They're never going to win a cup like that. And that's what people don't understand is, like, yeah, people, they're not winning cups. That doesn't make them bad. That just makes their team bad, because their team can't produce without them.
When you have 18 skaters and two of them make up for 42% of your offense, that's a great stat for the two, but that's an awful stat for the team overall.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. The funny stat that Charlie Romeliotis had pointed out on Wednesday was, I believe it was Tuesday's practice for both teams, the Oilers put McDavid and Draisaitl back on a line, and the Blackhawks had put Kane and Taves back on a line. So a little bit of mirroring there going on. You got your top two, your captain and your best player. Well, in Edmonton's case, it's kind of the same guy, but your captain and your number two, basically, on the same line. As Blackhawks fans know, that's not typically the case, especially in the Quinville era and the cup winning era. They would split them up, have some more depth. Those guys were able to play with a variety of other guys. They were versatile. Patrick Kane, I mean, he could find anybody out on the ice. Same thing kind of went for the Oilers. I understand that the Evander Kane injury is probably messing things up a little bit. He's going to be out. He got cut in the wrist. So yeah, very scary injury there. But, you know, for McDavid and Draisaitl to be put back on the same line, you're looking at, like, the majority of your production coming from there. And as Chicago fans, like I said, as we know, that's not exactly a way to win a cup, is have all of your big guns put together like that. Usually when the Hawks were winning cups, Taves and Kane were not on the ice at the same time. So I don't know. I wish the Edmonton Oilers well, but we'll see where they go from here. But yeah, so last week, I think it came out right before we did the show, or we buried the lead, and I apologize. So we're coming to you a week late, but we have the Blackhawks. I'm sorry, the NHL has released the Winter Classic jerseys for this year. It's Pittsburgh and Boston will be playing in the Winter Classic. It's going to be at Fenway Park again. That's kind of cool to see. As much as it's a repeat venue, it's a historic venue. And it should be great. I don't know, Rat, do you have pictures of the jerseys, or I got it pulled up here? Do you want me to just share my screen?
I don't think I have them on my computer.
Okay, let me just go ahead and
share. So if you can do that.
I just have the article pulled up. Sure, you guys see it all right? Got it?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. So Pittsburgh and Boston both came out with these jerseys as well. Pittsburgh's is reminiscent of the Pittsburgh Pirates. That was the hockey team beforehand. Of course, now it's the baseball team. So the P is in kind of that old font. Less coloration in the jersey than their typical jerseys. Of course, they still went there with their main three colors of black, white, and gold here. Boston, they're, of course, the home team, so they have more color in their jersey, more of a solid color anyways. They went with the black, yellow striping on the sleeves at the bottom. They went back with this crazy bear. I'm going to see if I could get a better picture, too. This crazy bear logo, of course, it says Boston across the front. So what are your guys' opinions on these? Hannah, did you like these, or are these a miss for you?
I don't know. I think they're more of a miss. Pittsburgh's is very, it's just very neutral. I like that about it. With Boston, it almost reminds me of a bumblebee. So I don't know. I think the bear in the front with the Boston across the chest looks good, but it's the yellow stripes at the bottom that are kind of killing it.
Rat, what you got?
I think that, like, I mean, I love Pittsburgh. I love the Pittsburgh jerseys. I mean, with what it's very plain, but with what they were trying to go for with the whole Pittsburgh Pirate thing, like, it works being plain like that. And I personally like that jersey a lot. With Boston, I mean, it's so hard to say because Boston has made so many jerseys. Like, I feel like every year they have a new jersey, at least one. And I mean, most of their jerseys kind of look the same, but just with different logos, with different striping. Like, they don't do much change. And this one, I feel like I've seen before. It's just so, what's the word I'm looking for here? It's like, I can't think of the word right now, but like, I feel like I've seen this before.
Deja vu a little bit.
Deja vu. Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with kind of both of you on this one. I do like Pittsburgh's for, like Hannah said, it's not too crazy. It's a little bit plain what they were going for with what Rat was saying, you know, the Pirates P. I do like it. I feel like I'd rock that one more so than the Boston one. And it's not because of coloration. I as much as you think they're bumblebee stripes, and they kind of are, I do kind of like it. It is old timey. Another thing I want to mention is I'd love to see this with the full kit, with the pants and the socks, and see if that does anything different for me. Of course, the helmets too. But I was never a fan of this bear logo. It looks, I'm going to try to get a better picture of this, because this bear logo, it's almost like the bear itself is like on drugs. And the Boston across the top is fine. But I don't know. It's plain to me. And what you're both saying too, with the fact that both of these teams have had to come up with a lot of jerseys in recent years, not to mention, you know, the reverse retro jerseys. Pittsburgh had to bring back the Emperor Penguin, which is great, and all that, and then the diagonal Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh's other Winter Classic jerseys I think still rank much higher, that being the blue one. I have actually one of those in my closet, the Crosby Winter Classic blue, baby blue. I loved those. So it is hard. They're kind of in the same boat as Chicago, where they've had to come up with a lot of jersey variations, and you start to hit the bottom of the barrel at a certain point. But I still think, with, you know, that being said, they still did a fairly good job at, you know, preserving the history in these jerseys with these. Let me stop sharing real quick, just because I want to go back to, this could be better for you visual watchers. This is a little bit more of the front of the jerseys. So you've got this bear. That's scary. Scary. Like, but like, not like a scary, like this bear's going to attack you scary, like scary, like that bear just, like, I don't know, shit his pants or something like that. Like
seriously, looks like he came out of a Russian cartoon.
Yeah. You know, honestly, you're like, not wrong.
I watched as a kid.
Yeah, like either an old Russian cartoon or like a political cartoon, like drawn kind of like that. The eyes are very like shocked looking, and like the mouth isn't like a growl. It's more of like a wide open, like a duh face. Like, I don't know why they've ever gone with this logo. I'm not a fan, but yeah. Oh, there's a little bit more detail in this P. It is.
Is it?
What's that?
It looks really, they put emphasis more on the stitching in the P to kind of make it pop, but I don't.
Probably. You're talking about the.
Yeah.
Sorry. I scrolled too far over. My bad. Wait, where is it at? Did I go back? I'm tech savvy. I'm so tech. Oh no, there it is. Wait, let me share again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so tech savvy. There we go.
How it sticks out right there.
Yeah, I do like that. It's almost, I mean, Pittsburgh is Steel City, so it almost looks like it's made up of, like, steel bars. I get it's just the stitching, but it looks like it's constructed in that same manner.
Yeah.
Kind of like our Talking Pylons logo, like the steel, never mind.
Or legs.
But yeah, those are the jerseys. It's still going to be cool. I still probably will be watching that game. I don't think I've missed too many Winter Classics, regardless of who the teams were. But yeah, New Year's is always New Year's Day is always a busy day, because the night before you're always, anyways, drinking. But yes, keeping on the jersey talk, Wednesday night, I was given a tip and a scoop by David Hammer himself. We'll shout him out for this one. It's the reverse retro curse. As of Wednesday, all 32 teams had played in their reverse retro jersey, and none of them had won. And the reverse retro jerseys had been out for about a 3-week period or so. However, that very night, Wednesday night, Toronto and Dallas both won in their reverse retro jerseys. And since then, this is just from Wednesday, Thursday. So that means Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're recording today. Monday's games haven't happened. So in 4 days, the Penguins, Bruins, Canucks, Flames, Canes, and Sabres have all won in their reverse retro jerseys. So was there a curse? It's just kind of uncanny that nobody had won.
I don't think the Canes played in their reverse retro jersey this week.
Oh, they had the Cane jersey going across. That is their reverse retro, is the ones with the, it says Canes and they're across, but I don't know if it's different.
Jersey.
What's that?
I feel like that's their either home or road jersey. I don't think that's their reverse retro.
Oh, it could be.
You know what the issue might be? They have a 25th anniversary jersey as well. And I think I might be picking those up.
Never could be, because I'm almost certain that, because we covered the reverse retro jerseys a while back. Their reverse retro this year says Canes in diagonal font across the side, and the C has two warning flags in the middle of it. And so I when I saw the highlights of that game, I saw the Canes, the diagonal, but I didn't check to make sure it was the specific specs of that jersey. It could have been just a third jersey that said Canes across the front, but
they have five this, and that is too many to keep track of.
I know, I was just about to say that's confusing. I do love their logos and their jerseys concepts and whatnot, but that's a lot. I love the flag. Go back to the flag. Those are sick. The black warning flags.
Yes.
But yes. So that was our David Hammer scoop of the week.
I like that.
It was. When he had pointed it out to me, we were sitting in the Kettle One Club, and I was like, wow, I had not noticed. I'd only really paid attention to when the Hawks wore their ones, because those are. Yeah. And I know for a fact we lost in those every single time we played in them. So, and maybe that's just because those jerseys are cursed.
Going back to the fact that it was Toronto and Dallas, could this maybe reverse the curse for Toronto?
Possibly.
Could that be a start of something?
Toronto's won the cup this year.
You heard it here first, folks. Hammer the future bets. Toronto's winning the cup. It's for sure. It's certain. Per Jake Ratner and Hannah R. Bittman, the Toronto Maple Leafs are finally going to get over the hump and win it all. Dallas is on a roll this year. We'd be remiss not to talk about Jason Robertson. He is on fire. And I saw a tweet. I don't know who it was from. It didn't seem like it was an NHL. Official, but they had a blue check mark, although these days that can mean whatever. And somebody said a Filipino kid from Southern California is leading the NHL in goals. That's freaking rad. I was like,
You know what's crazy to me is the fact that he didn't even have a contract until the very beginning of the season, if I'm not wrong. I think there was a thing where, like, he wasn't going to show up to training camp without a contract.
Yeah. More and more players are, like, holding out like that to try to get more money. And honestly, he's proven that he's probably worth it.
He's worth it, yeah, for sure. And Rupe Hintz had a hat trick last night, if I'm not mistaken.
So, yeah, also right? Scary.
Well, I wanted to add something real quick. Speaking of goal scoring, I don't think that we went over this at all, didn't even talk about it at all, but Alex Ovechkin is now the number one road goal scorer. He's passed Gretzky and has the most goals on the road as any player. And I think that's a sure. huge accomplishment.
Yeah, he's still chasing the title of most goals in the NHL, but he's got most road goals now. So another milestone checked off that list for him. And he's Russian.
He is Russian. I'm looking forward to interviewing him. It's not as easy as it is with other players, actually, but hopefully sometime in the future. But I just think it's so interesting. I feel like every time I open social media after they play, it's always a new Ovechkin milestone.
Yeah, always. That's
like, it could be literally any game, any point. It'll be like, oh, this title. Now he holds this milestone. And I'm like, okay, Capitals game. What's it going to be today for Ovechkin? Like, and it's great to see him succeed like that. And he's obviously a huge influence for many players, not just Russian guys, but yeah, special.
Yeah, he's quite the player. I actually at that game I was sitting at with my friends on Wednesday, even though he wasn't even on the ice, there was Ovechkin being talked about because the two Polish gentlemen that were sitting behind in the row behind us, I didn't understand any of the Polish they were talking about, but I could tell it was Polish. And then the, oh, Ruski, oh, Ovechkin. I was like, oh, okay, I know those words. So, yeah, I guess they were talking about him, including milestones from some phenomenal players and captains. Steven Stamkos also got an assist on Nick Paul's goal for his 1,000th NHL point, which was pretty cool. He got to keep the puck, and they were drinking in the locker room. So,
a secondary, too, which I think is important to point out. He said that it was the most important secondary assist of his life.
Yes, that is true. Yeah. So great to see.
I don't
want to
pump my own chains here, but my senior year of high school, I did surpass 100 points in a season, and my 100th point was on a secondary assist.
Wow.
So, I think
secondary assists are just important.
I think we talked about your 100 points when you first came on, but we definitely didn't talk about that. It was a secondary assist. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. In addition to the 1,000th point for Stamkos, the Lightning have also made news this week because Gritty chirped Patrick Maroon because Maroon got I'll let you take this one, Rat, because you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, so I mean, there was an interview between Biz and Maroon, and Biz, I think, if I can remember correctly, was chirping him a little bit about his physical features, how he's kind of a bigger set guy. And even some announcers were chirping. I can't remember what game it was, but one of the announcers was like, I think he's had a couple too many pizzas, you know. Like he's a bigger set guy, and I mean, he's still in the NHL, he's still a great player. And the Tampa Bay was playing in Philadelphia, and Gritty was on the glass with a sign. And with Patrick Maroon getting some teeth knocked out, he's taken on a lisp, and the sign said thick and tired of this body shaming, and you're supposed to say sick and tired, but with the lisp, it sounds like thick and tired. So it was spelled out thick or T-H-I, I think it was C-C or C-K.
It was a little double entendre because, you know, thick because of the lisp, but also thick because he's a thicker guy, you know?
Yeah. And I thought that was hilarious. Just the thick and tired. I mean, that's just Gritty's a great mascot though. I mean, you had to see it coming.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The antics that he does. In addition to that though, it was, so the announcer you were talking about is Jack Edwards. He's the announcer for the Bruins, kind of a little bit of a jerk sometimes on the mic. So he was criticizing Maroon about his diet and how he looks and stuff like that. So the best clapback was Patrick Maroon tweeted out, in support of those struggling with mental health, bullying, and body image, I am making a $2,000 donation in the name of the @RealJackEdwards to @TampaBayThrives. And I encourage the @TampaBayLightning and @NHLFans to donate or to join me, donate here. So then he sent the link to donate. So a little bit of a clapback. This kind of goes back to a little bit of the Hannah stuff. It's like, you know, bullying like this.
Hey.
And I mean, I don't believe they were the same topics. This is, no, this, but I know you didn't want to get into it, but I know that none of this belongs into in the hockey world. And just, you know, be kind to each other. You know, what is, why is it got to be like this? Everybody just be nice. And there's no place for this in the hockey world or any world, really. Just be nice. Jokes are jokes, but don't, if you're Jack Edwards and you probably don't know Patrick Maroon on a personal level, maybe don't be saying that kind of stuff on the air about the guy, especially when he's out there on the ice and you're up in the booth. So,
right. That's also, I think, something really important to point out. I don't know what Jack Edwards' career looks like aside from the booth, but if he was an NHL player, obviously not as talked about as Patrick Maroon. And for him to go up there and say that is, I mean, it's one of those things where you kind of have to step back and even make a public apology, I would, because that's not okay. That has no place on the broadcast. You're talking hockey and you're not discussing a player's body. You're not discussing what he eats and what he drinks. That's not on, I'd say.
Right. Yeah. And Jack Edwards is known to make some of these kind of, he once compared somebody to a mass serial killer at one point. Like, there's a whole montage on YouTube I remember watching of all these times that Jack Edwards has like made these outrageous remarks. And it's like, dude, I get you want to have some hyperboles in there and you want to be exaggerative and you want to, I don't know, make things exciting, but do it in like a nicer way. So yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Jack Edwards. I'll just put that out. I respect him for the level that he's at and what he does, but some of the things he said can be quite controversial. And hey, it gets people like us to talk about it. So maybe that's his end goal. But yeah, like you said, maybe an apology in there. I'm glad though that Patrick Maroon, you know, was able to take this and spin it positively, donate. And I'm glad Gritty was able to, you know, make light of the situation and joke about it. But yeah, there's looks definitely like some
might cut out or no.
Oh, was that him?
Oh, did I cut out?
I think so.
I hope we got all that. I was saying it.
We'll be back, I'm sure.
I'm right here. Can you guys see me? Okay. Hopefully no other technical difficulties today. I don't know where it cut me out. I was talking about Patrick Maroon and the whole Jack Edwards thing. Jack Edwards, like Hannah said, probably should apologize. You know, he's been known to say some very off-color things in the past. But when it comes to the whole situation, I'm glad it gave Patrick Maroon a chance to donate to a good cause and put a positive spin on it. And then for Gritty to, you know, poke some fun and make it a little bit more lighthearted. But we got to go into another type similar issue with the hockey world. And we don't bring these things up because, you know, we want to bash the hockey world and criticize, but some things don't belong in the hockey world. And we want to bring them to the forefront and shed some light on some things that should not be going on. And that would be the whole Mitchell Miller, Isaiah Meyer Cuthers situation. We haven't talked about this in the past, although it's been going on in the media for a while. Mitchell Miller is a prospect that was looking to play in the NHL. He was almost signed by the Arizona Coyotes. And then just this year, he was almost picked up by the Boston Bruins. Both times the NHL stepped in or the organizations themselves said no thank you to Mitchell Miller because of the fact that he has a record of harassing and bullying. And hazing and harassing aren't even strong enough words for some of the things that have come out that he's done to a boy by the name of Isaiah Meyer Cuthers. Isaiah is a special needs child. Well, he's a little bit more grown up now. And he's also a Black boy. And so a lot of the hate towards him that Mitchell Miller has done has been both poking fun at his condition and poking fun at his race. And none of that is acceptable. None of that is okay. However, we, per our buddy Brian McIntyre, BMAC, he sent me a really lighthearted post that Wayne Simmonds from the Toronto Maple Leafs was with Isaiah Meyer Cuthers, and he gave him tickets, I believe, to a Leafs game. So good to see that, you know, a real good gesture was done by an NHL player to kind of give this kid a little bit brighter of a day. But Mitchell Miller, the Bruins spoke out, particularly Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, and those are some two pretty big voices in that locker room, saying that they don't want Mitchell Miller on the team because of all this bullying and stuff that he's done. And the apology that he gave was kind of a half-ass apology, kind of not wholeheartedly. He just wanted to get the apology out of the way to appease the courts and so that he could probably play hockey again. So not okay. What did you guys make of all of this? And were you able to see the Wayne Simmonds good gesture that he did, Hannah?
I did not see that, but I feel like that's not – as much as it is a nice gesture by him, he has nothing to do with the situation. For him to step in and make that offer is great. But that ultimately does not take away the pain that this kid has to go through for something that he can't control. So, yeah. Again – there's no place for hate in hockey or the world outside of it. So that's all I can say.
Right. Were you able to see this, Rat? Did I send it to you?
I don't think I saw this, but from what I've heard from you say just now, like, I mean, like Hannah said, there's no place for hate in hockey. I mean, I like to say that hockey players are some of the nicest people off the ice. And when it doesn't come to the actual game of it, and seeing this just kind of, you know, takes that part of what I just said away. I mean, like, there are players, there are people in this world that do have that hate in their body and give it out to, and they don't have a filter. And I think that's wrong. And again, I do think the hockey players are the nicest people off the ice, but stuff like this just can't happen.
Yeah. I agree with what you said. I've met some hockey players that are not of our like mind, but it's really two complete opposite sides of the spectrum. You've either got really nice, like the nicest people in the world, hockey players. And that's what I know. I mean, you are, I try to be, you know, you just try to do good all the time. But then I also know some people who have even shit on me, and it's like, well, like, why? Like, I'm not going to go into anything personal, but it's like, you know, just because, you know some NHLers or whatever, like, doesn't mean that you're the shit. It's just, you know, just be nice to everybody. Just be cool. Moving forward, though, because I know we've taken up a lot of time here. Preds sewered me on a bet. The Predators were playing the Devils, the Red Hot Devils, and the Devils were winning by a goal. The Preds tied it up with 8 seconds to go. Went to overtime and sealed the deal. So kind of a quick turnaround. A lot of crazy blown leads going on in this league this year. It's actually a heightened stat that they were mentioning on Chicklets. So go ahead and go listen to that. Another OT goal was the Matty Beniers OT goal for the Kraken. That only took him 10 seconds to score. So let's go Kraken.
It was, I think, 7 seconds, but.
Oh, was it seven? Oh, is Beniers number 10?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I was flipping around. My bad. Yes, yeah. So that was quick. Those I've always wondered. Like, do you almost think like, wow, damn, I could have done that like 8 seconds earlier, and we didn't have to give the other team a point, you know? Right. But they're probably just happy to come away with two.
Well, going on that, you could have done that 8 seconds earlier. It's so funny story. It was actually with Kaner, our last guest, and. It was last year, Chicago Wolves were in, I think this was the conference finals at this point in time. And they were playing the Stockton Heat in game one, I believe, went to overtime. And Jameson Reese scored the goal, and it was 3 or 4 minutes into to the overtime. And Kaner looked over to me after he scored and said, "We had to wait that whole intermission for that." And it was just so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I think that was the game that I missed through the playoff run.
Yeah.
Bad fan. It's
awful. I saw those snaps after and I was like, wow, out of all the games, right? I have to do this.
Well, I mean, look at me. I'm the guy who went to, you know, Connor McDavid showdown and missed the Connor McDavid show. So, yeah. But, yes, including fancy goals, the Sabres had a penalty shot. Rat, you want to take this one?
Yeah. That was insane. Insane goal. I mean, the Sabres got a penalty shot. It was Jack Quinn. I believe he's a rookie, his freshman season. Some of these younger guys just have that skill and bring that aspect to the game of skill and creativity that these older guys don't do as much because it's not the old school way. Like, there's a new school of hockey now, and I love it. And Jack Quinn's one of these guys. He's a young guy, came in on a penalty shot, made a sick move to his backhand, and came right back to his forehand at the goalie, just completely didn't know where he was going or anything. And Jack Quinn just made a sick move and put it in and scored his penalty shot.
Yeah. Last week I had given picks, and that was one that I got wrong. I'm sorry that I bet against your Sabres, Drew, but I took Kaner was on the podcast. So I took Kaner and Red Wings, and they let me down right there on a penalty shot. So, but good to see the Sabres doing well. We also have a story coming out of the WHL. Four WHL players saved a man's life. Four players on the WHL's Brandon Wheat Kings, Calder Anderson, Jake Chason, Nolan Ritchie, and Ben Thornton were exploring the city when they saw a man attempting or contemplating suicide on Brandon's First Street Bridge. So they made the courageous decision to intervene, and they saved his life. So a positive story coming out of the NHL. And once again, just something else in this world where, negative things are going on, either because of probably maybe bullying or hate or whatever. And they came to the rescue. So this one ended well. This one was positive. So love to see that.
Speaks volumes to what Rat was saying about how hockey players are really good people. And yeah, as much as we do get those occasional circumstances where those negative stories come into the media, that's one of the things that really kind of brightens your mood and gives you hope. I don't know.
Really good.
And This isn't even the NHL that we're talking about. This is WHL. These are kids, right? Yeah. Like 16, 17.
Yeah. I mean, like going back to that, hockey players are some of the greatest people is because, like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's the only sport that has juniors in a sense, where you don't go to college and you don't live on your own. You go and live in somebody else's house. You have that billet, and you have to learn to be respectful to that family that took you in. And hockey players are very respectful in that manner because of that.
Yeah, definitely. And what Hannah said is these guys are pretty young. They do. I don't know ages of these gentlemen, but in this picture, they all look very young. The one's wearing a Sox hat. So, you know, he's a White Sox fan. You know, he's a good guy then, you know. Not to joke and make light of it, but what they did was very important, very cool. And lastly, we probably shouldn't have left this for last because it is, should have gone out on a high note here with our NHL talk. But we are wishing him well. Chris Letang had a stroke this past week, so he's taking some time away from the game. Legend of the game, won a lot of Stanley Cups, and he was there for all three with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So wishing him well and hope to see him back out on the ice. Strokes are tough. My grandmother had one. Never a fun situation, and those are scary situations, definitely, but we hope he's doing well, and we'll hope to see him back out on the ice at some point very soon. That's it, all I got for NHL. What do you guys got? Anything else? Anything more to add?
I think that's it. I think we covered most of it.
It's been a busy week. I love busy weeks, but I hope it isn't too busy going forward, because, man, so many notes I gotta put in here. I'm not gonna lie. So many videos you got to look up, Rat. We're going to have to get Hannah on here full time so that she could give analysis while we just kind of do the back end work of all this stuff. I don't have any rink talk today. I know last week I had said we were coming close to finishing, but I've had a delay. I had this last week, so it's not really an excuse. I've been doing my best, though, but the weather's hasn't been quite cooperating anyways, so it's not like we would have had skatable ice. But I'm hoping to get stuff done tonight and be ready for a rink within the next week sometime. But Rat has a rink to tell us about.
Got the pond of the pod. So am I sharing my screen again for this?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Let's see. Oh, it says that the host is disabled participant screen sharing. So I don't want to share my screen.
Blame it on me. No, go ahead. Try that.
that there work? We go. Share. All right. So we have, what's going on here? Okay. Whatever. What is going on here?
I don't know if it lets you. Oh, no, yeah, it does. Okay.
There we go.
I was having problems with that too. See, it's not just me. It's not just me that's not tech savvy.
So for this pond on the pod, we got the Rosemont, Illinois ice rink. I think it's very cool what they do. I believe in the summer they make it a soccer field or something of that nature. And in the winter they make it an ice rink, and we got all these lights. I mean, Christmas lights. I love Christmas. I mean, my friends can all attest to that. Christmas is the best. Oh, actually, funny. It's the Chicago Bulls open air ice rink. Chicago is right here. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool rink. It's open for public skate. There's some games that go on it, like some tournaments that happen. Some of our friends are playing on it this year, actually. But I think it's a very cool rink, and I think how they do it is nice, and it gets real crowded, as you can see here. As you can see here, there's a lot of people on the ice there, and I think that it's a cool thing that they do with this.
Any pictures of us? We were there last year.
On there? No, I don't think so.
How cool would it be if the Chicago Wolves did a game on that rink?
I'm pretty sure they have before.
They do.
They
have. I don't know if it's an every year thing. I think they've
done it in a while. Yeah.
But they have played, I believe it was the Iowa Wild. They played a game against them out there. Or maybe it was somebody closer. It might have been Rockford or even Milwaukee. I know they've had a couple games out there as their version of a winter classic.
Yeah.
Rat alluded to the fact that we're going to have some friends playing there in January on that outdoor rink. They play for University of Illinois hockey, Jackson Deeds and Jason Granger.
Garinger.
Garinger, yeah. I always get it wrong. I apologize, Jason. But they will probably have them on the podcast at some point to talk about those games leading up. And it's going to be a fun experience. We were out there, was it December 30th of last year? So I'm hoping to get out there again. I met Chris Chelios and Alex DeBrincat were not skating. They were just signing autographs in the Kings bowling alley right there. But a bunch of the former Blackhawks, Eric Dazze, Steve Conroy, it was a skate with the greats event. And so I was out there for that as well. It's an awesome rink. It really is.
Very cool.
A lot to do in Rosemont too. If you're a native of the surrounding area, definitely check out Rosemont. Rosemont's fun.
Yeah.
But we'll have to go this year.
Yeah, and then
come to mine.
I love it. Well, yours is for hockey. That one's just for skating, you know?
No, you could just do skate nights on it. I've done skate nights before. We'd have the ladies over, you know? They don't always have fun to pick up a hockey stick, although, you know. I got the lights, the disco lights. Yeah, no, that's fine. We've got extra sticks if you want to, but if you don't want to. We do. Rat has lefty sticks. I have a couple spare crappy lefty sticks. I'm not a lefty, but I think one or two of them are all right. But I've got the disco lights that go. So you could turn the overhead light off and just have like a neon, like
put a movie up on the
glow in the dark. Yes, I have a projector. I put it up on the side of my house, or if I'm on the deck, I put it down on the ice, which is cool because then it's like a projection on the ice, but you can't really see it when you're skating. So when we're skating, I usually put the games up on. Last year we had the Winter Olympics, so I was flipping between like Hawks games, NHL All-Star game, and Winter Olympics on the projector on the side of the house, which was a lot of fun. Yes. Awesome, awesome pond of the pod this week. I love it. Well, I've got Missing the Mark segment coming up right here. I've got some picks for you. This episode will probably air. We're recording Monday, so it'll probably either air tonight or Tuesday. So I'm going to give you guys picks for Wednesday. We have a couple of different games going on Wednesday night rivalry. One of the TNT games, that's the late game, is Rangers and Golden Knights. I'm going to take Golden Knights because we just talked about how the Rangers are struggling with Trouba having his tantrums and whatnot. I don't see the Rangers getting it together for this one. Jack Eichel has been going off, so we'll take the Golden Knights on that one. We've also got Edmonton and Arizona. This is kind of like David and Goliath, so we're taking Edmonton, and we're taking Connor McDavid. Go ahead.
You don't want to take the ASU Coyotes?
The ASU Coyotes, yes. Have we mentioned that on the podcast that they're playing out of the college?
I don't think we have.
We brought the podcast back a little after all that news came out. But, yeah, the Arizona Coyotes aren't exactly playing out of the Gila River Arena anymore. So they don't have their own. They're playing out of Arizona State. So that's kind of tough when you're basically sharing an arena with a college team. And you have to renovate locker rooms to be up to NHL and not NCAA standards. And that money that you use to renovate those locker rooms was a significant chunk of money that could have gone to building a new stadium in the downtown Phoenix area, but I won't get into it, you know. That's tough. I do want to see Desert Hawks. I do want to see them do well. And I was down there not for a game during the summer. And honestly, the arenas that where they used to play, Gila River, there's a whole outdoor mall complex behind there. And the Arizona Cardinals, the football team, play right across the street. Now, I understand NFL is 10 times bigger, but there's really not an excuse to why your fan base isn't connected other than just there's not a good product on the ice. Like, they tried to make the same argument that the Tampa Bay Rays make, which is their stadium is not in Tampa Bay, so it's disconnected from the fan base and it's hard for them to get out there, which in Tampa Bay's case, it's true. I won't get too far into that because there's some other factors, but they put a great product out on the baseball field and they don't get the fans because there's a disconnect. Arizona, your fans can get out there. It's not that hard. It's just, do they want to? No, because Wednesday night, you're going to get destroyed by the Edmonton Oilers. Connor McDavid to have over 1.5 points. Leon Draisaitl, same thing. They're probably still going to be on the same line. So hammer those two guys on the prop bets. Boston Bruins and Colorado Avalanche. This is a tough one for me. I'm not going to give every game here, and I may skip a couple. But I may actually take this game because of how hot Boston has been, which means I'm probably taking Boston, although picking against the defending champs and Cale Makar and Nathan MacKinnon, that's going to be tough. If you don't want to take that game, completely understand. Definitely watch it, though, because that one's going to be fun to watch. But it's not nationally broadcast. I don't know why. It's just on Altitude and New England Sportsnet. So I guess you really got to be in the Boston or Colorado area. I can't speak today to see that one. That's pretty much all I like for Wednesday. I'll move on to Thursday, and then I'll do Friday real quickly just to give you kind of the week. If you want weekend bets, hit me up or follow me. I'll maybe post some of them for Saturday, Sunday. Thursday, we have Tampa and Nashville, a little bit of the rematch of that outdoor game last year. Nashville's still struggling. They sewered me last time, so they're going up against my Tampa Bay Lightning, my second favorite team. So I'm taking Wasey and Stamkos. Definitely take Tampa Bay to win here. You could throw Kucherov and Stamkos to each get a point as well. Toronto Maple Leafs, Los Angeles Kings. I mean, I'm not picking against Mitch Marner. The man is on a heater. So take Marner to get a point. Take Toronto to win the game. And then that is... Oh, well, we got one more for Thursday. Dallas versus Ottawa. Jason Robertson to get a point or a goal if you're risky. I would take him to get a goal too. He's leading the league, and take Dallas to win. Friday, we have Winnipeg Jets and Chicago Blackhawks. It has not ended well for the Hawks in previous encounters. So take the Hawks. Take the Jets to beat the Hawks. Oof, almost gave the wrong pick there. Take the Jets. Calgary over Columbus, a little bit of a rematch of the Johnny Gaudreau debacle there. So, yes.
Are you live?
I am not live. Well, live on podcast, but.
Shoot, okay, my bad.
No, you're good.
Brazil's up 4-0.
Brazil's up 4-0? All right, my bets are cashing. It's perfect for the betting segment that we got going on here. That means I'm doing pretty well in the FIFA categories. So maybe if you want some FIFA picks too, hit me up for that. I don't just do NHL. Dang, Brazil, 4-0. Yikes. I forget who they're playing, but they were heavily favored. Going off of that validation, take my pick, take Calgary. I don't exactly know if you could take anybody in this game to get a point or anything, but definitely take Calgary. I don't think Johnny Gaudreau is going to do much against his former team because Columbus has been struggling. We also have Seattle and Washington. Take Seattle. Washington's been struggling. Minnesota and Edmonton. This will be a fun one. I don't think I'm going to take a winner in this game, but I'm definitely going to take my typical McDavid and Draisaitl. I may even take Kaprizov to get a point. He leads the team in goals and assists, which thus means points as well. We have New York and Colorado. I don't want to keep picking against the Rangers, but I kind of picked against Colorado before, so I'm going to go with Colorado on this one. Boston versus Arizona. I don't mind picking against ASU again, so we're going to take Boston for this one as well. And Vegas and Philadelphia. Eichel to get a point here and Vegas to get the win. As John Tortorella would say, their team is just – there's nothing good about them, so don't take Philly. That's what I've got for you for missing the mark on this week. Anybody got anything else that I may have missed or that you're looking forward to?
No. I don't think so.
I know we've run kind of long here. I've got nothing else for everybody. One more thing. If you want more sports news, not just NHL, I know last week I promoted our Voodoo podcast, which is for Halloween fans. I'll be promoting my Mike on the Mic show. It is on sportstownchicago.com or the TuneIn Radio app. That airs. That's not like a podcast, though. You can't go back and listen to it. It's only from 5 to 6 p.m. Central Time. And in those two spots that I told you, sportstownchicago.com or the TuneIn Radio app. There I'll be talking football, basketball, baseball, FIFA, NHL, a lot of the NHL stuff that we covered today, but even more. I'm going to dive into a little bit more. It'll be a little bit more hometown stuff like Chicago Blackhawks, but if there's some big news, I'll drop it there. But definitely stick around here for all your around the league news, and we'll be weekly coming at you with that. But that's all I got. Hannah, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. It's really fun.
Well, I'm glad you got to stay for the NHL talk too. You definitely deserve to have your opinion in the mix and be knowledgeable about that stuff too.
Yeah. Good talk. Cool.
I know. We've been on here for long. Thank you for all the listeners that are still here or watchers if you're on YouTube. Keeping up with us. We thank you. We appreciate your support. And I guess we will see you guys next week.
Peace out.
Be kind to everybody. Stay safe, everyone. Just be nice. Just be a good person.